Yeah, it's incurred.
What it is a synonym of committed?
Incurred is to like to bring about.
Oh, okay.
It's like also to you can say that you. Another way of saying it, another way of using it is like he incurred a fee for using that service.
All right.
Something like that. So you can incur a fee, meaning like you. Cause yourself to kind of get taxed with this fee or whatever. So yeah, cheers, man. And we got to be careful of the table because everything gets picked up. We are at Astra Stube in Neukölln, in Berlin, having some beers with Evgeny, who I've spoken about on the podcast, saying all kinds of fucked up shit about Evgeny. Totally. All I'm just kidding. I never talk shit about him. So let's just be careful with the table. And so I'm going to do some announcements as usual. I should probably tell you where you are. This is Voices from the Dark, episode 14. And today's episode features Mistaken Ideas number 3, September 5th, 2018. As usual, I'm going to make a few announcements. A lot of it you've probably heard before. That's okay, because I want you to never forget what's happening in the dark. So, some announcements. I got upcoming podcasts as usual. Of course, Mistaken Ideas. I have some guests planned. This is the first actual guest that we've had on the show on Mistaken Ideas. Other series, obviously the artist series, that's still going on. It's my sort of regular therapy session for myself, talking to artists, finding out what makes them tick. Also, I've mentioned before that I'm going to be doing a collaboration, sort of a live collaboration, and I do have more details about that, but I still don't want to tell you about it. I still don't want anyone to really know until it's all solidified. But it's a series, collaboration. Thank you. A collaboration. And I'm going to go ahead with the artist series on that collaboration. So that's the new kind of information on that. You know that there's a political podcast coming up. I'm still kind of working on the setup for it. It's definitely got to do with socialism. If you follow me on social media at all, you know that I'm always reading about this word and this sort of concept and all the different meanings that it has. So that's coming up, and you know, I might be changing the title. Working title so far has been "You Capitalist," "You Comma Capitalist," and so that's coming up. I hope soon. Previous guests have approached me, which I'm so happy about. I've told you before about things that I've done with previous guests, and I have another one coming up. Don't really have too many details. All I can tell you is that it's artists, and they're sound artists, and it's going to be probably the most interesting one of the most interesting sort of parts of the artist series, because it's like a group of artists, so I've never done that before. That'll be something special. Another podcast coming up, which I have mentioned on social media and also on the podcast. It's a utopia podcast. I want to talk about utopias and, you know, get people's ideas of or examples of what people think would be their preferred utopia, or a just utopia that they've read in a book, just to sort of break down what it is and to see, like, if we can even conceptualize what these, like, how these utopias would actually play out. Sort of like it's an analysis, you know, sort of a hypothetical, just basically fiction. Now, previously on, actually, I should say about the utopia series and all the other series, I've told you guys, you gotta tweet at me, get at me at social media. Give me examples. This goes for the Mistaken Ideas podcast, of course, even more, because I need your examples of these fallacies. I kind of want to create like a huge collection of them. You know, it's nice to see what's on the internet, but But I want to see what other people are thinking and like what people can come up with that's not just based on like Wikipedia articles or books that I've read. There's got to be some creative shit that you guys can come up with. So hit me up at Twitter, you know, where to find me, social media, Facebook. So yeah, previously on this episode, I'm sorry, on this series, we did the Mistaken Ideas. We did the Red Herring. We did the Fallacy of the Horns. Hit me up on Twitter. Give me examples of those. Today's episode is going to be about, well, actually two. It's going to be about two fallacies. The main one is the fake precision fallacy that I've been talking about, or that I talked about on the previous episode of Mistaken Ideas. And the second one is sort of a bonus fallacy. It sort of just came up in my actually on social media. It's the splitting hairs fallacy. But before we get into all that, I'm going to take a quick cigarette break, and then I'm going to get back with Evgeny, and we're going to talk about fake precision. We are back. Voices from the Dark. Episode 14, Mistaken Ideas number 3. We are just going to jump right into it with the fake precision fallacy. I'm here with Evgeny, a good friend of mine, and I figure I'll let him introduce himself.
All right.
Tell us why the hell he's here.
Hey, I'm Evgeny. I'm a good friend of Steve. As I already said, but we didn't record that part. I would like to believe that I'm a good friend of his. And the reason why I'm here and discussing this this false precision fallacy with him is because our conversations more or less are kind of like exploration into what it means to have a conversation with somebody. What do you get from a conversation? Should you have just conversation for the sake of it? Or you should always aim for finding out something from these conversations, from having clear definitions of the issues that you are discussing, and then set these definitions into I don't know, some sort of a roadmap, so you can have a better understanding of what exactly this conversation is all about. So the why we picked the false precision is because, in my opinion, this one is really, really easy to commit. This fallacy is really easy to commit. It's really lucrative in a way. A lot of people can benefit from committing this fallacy, and it really, I think that it really comes down to not only what you say, but the level of commitment that you have behind the fallacy that you're committing, and are you believing what you're saying? And it doesn't really matter what numbers or what percentages you will come up with, as long as you sound, as long as you're sounding like you know your shit, then a lot of people maybe would not put your claims into question, and they would just take it as for face value. So maybe I should read the definition from a book that we have right here in front of us, because of course we are not, and we should really state out this caveat that we are not experts on fallacies. We are not PhD in philosophy or psychology or any other field that has to do with the academic research of fallacies and argumentation in general. So we are going to read from a book, just like every other human being will do if he wants to find out about these things. And the book that we have in front of us is the How to Win Every Argument by, what was the name of it?
Madsen Peary. It's, yeah, Madsen, Peirie. I'm just going to interrupt you for a quick second. In this podcast, we've been using the Michael Wythe book, which is Mastering Rhetorical Fallacies, or I'm sorry, something like that. It's a mastering... I totally forgot to bring the book today, which is retarded of me, but, you know, that's life. So, yeah, this time we... and, of course, you know, I've mentioned other sources before, mostly online sources. This is actually a new sort of book source, let's call it, that I'll probably continue to use because it has a bunch of stuff that the Michael Wythe book does not have. So, Evgeny, continue. You're going to read the entry from the beginning in Matt Sempere's How to Win Every Argument, False Precision.
So the way that it's set up here is that false precision is incurred when exact numbers are used for inexact notions. So what does that even mean? Like, exact numbers are used for inexact notions. So think of it as 4 out of 5 people would agree that committing murder is bad. So, yeah, this is kind of a truism. Of course, if you're a decent human being, you should believe that committing murder is bad, or at least this is the social idea that we should all, in my opinion, follow, that you should not kill your peers and you should not kill anybody. But how do you even how do you even conclude that 4 out of 5 people believe that? So this, I think, has to do with, first of all, with badly written studies. And second of all, why would you use something like that? Why would you use this fallacy consciously? Because you can always commit these fallacies unconsciously and not even be aware that you are doing that. Why would you do that is to give some sort of credibility and validity to your claims.
Yeah.
So we all do that. I'm pretty sure that maybe not on a daily basis, but we definitely all committed that in the past month.
Yeah, for sure. So what you're talking about definitely is the difference between intentional fallacies and unintentional fallacies. And this is, I've said before, almost all of the fallacies that I've read so far and that I've been reading about can either be used intentionally or unintentionally. And so why don't you finish reading the definition? So basically, using numbers for things that are difficult to quantify so what else does it say there?
Well, it says that when straightforward statements about experience are decked out in numbers well beyond the accuracy of possible measurement, the precision is false and can mislead the audience into supposing that the information is more detailed than is really the case. So what does that even mean? This is a really well-written definition, but before you take it for face value, you maybe have to unpack it. What does that even mean? Like, you can say that, Mercedes are for sure better than BMWs as a car. This can be taken as a subjective statement. So for me, this can be the truth for me. But when you are saying that out in public, you are not speaking about a subjective claim anymore. Even if it is completely subjective for you, when you're saying that Mercedes are better than BMW, this has to do something with objective reality, or at least the claim is addressed for objective reality. And when you're committing this fallacy, because this is fallacious claim, you are using the false precision fallacy. Because, as I said, where are you getting this qualitative judgment from? What does it even mean for one manufacturer to be better than the other? Here is where I think the heart of the problem lies, is defining these numbers that you are stating, defining why one thing is better than the other, and then attaching some quantitative or qualitative assessment to it.
But is it qualitative? Because from what I understand, so what you just said is definitely qualitative. There's some better examples in the book.
Sure.
So let's take a look at the difference between the example you gave and the example in the book.
Sure. So
first the example that you gave was Mercedes are better than whatever, BMWs. So that's definitely a qualitative statement. But I think that it's not false precision because we haven't said something, we haven't used numbers to back up,
right,
so-called back up that claim. And I'm using air quotes here because that's the thing about false precision. It makes the argument seem more valid than it is by using numbers.
All right.
So
we can transform that claim simply by stating that Mercedes-Benz are twice as better than BMW.
Right.
So this is making it a false. This is making it a false precision. So how do you quantify the
How do you quantify this qualitative statement in the first place?
This goodness.
Yeah, this goodness. What? How do you qualify? How do you quantify the goodness? By the number of seats, the number of doors,
exactly.
The number of times that people driving BMWs crashed, over the number of times people driving Mercedes-Benz crashed. So, where I'm getting here is that even if there is some data that can back up your claim, that doesn't necessarily plays in your favor when you're stating that it's twice as good as the other brand, because you have to you need huge amounts of data that can back up your claim in order to say that something is twice as better or even one third, or insert any number here. In the moment that you are using this number, you either are committing the false precision fallacy, or you are really knowledgeable about the topic that you're speaking about, and in the moment that somebody challenges your claim, you can just draw upon...
You can bring the evidence.
You can bring the evidence, you can use the knowledge that you have in the area. So what I want to maybe stress out here is that it really has to do... We're going to use some scientific terms here. It really has to do with the studies that you're stating. So I'm going to just bring another example from the book. People say the Scots are mean, but they have been shown in surveys to be 63% more generous than the Welsh.
So this is from the book.
This is from the book. Yeah, this is straight up from the book. And it is a very good example that back up the claim that I'm going to make right now, that you need to have a very well designed study before you can make a claim like that. Why I think it is problematic to make a claim like this, even if you committed a scientific study using all the scientific rigorous methods and ways of conducting this study itself, is that you need like a really big study sample in order to make that claim. You cannot speak with 100 people from Wales, and you cannot speak with 100 people from Scots, convey that survey, and then make this claim, oh, but 63% of them are more generous than the other group. Because this is not representative of the the Scots or the Welsh in general.
Yeah, actually, let me stop you right there, because I've said before in the podcast that a lot of fallacies have crossover with other fallacies. So in this particular example from the book, basically the statement that they're making, even if they did have a study of 100 or 1,000 Scots, that could also be a biased sample.
Yes.
Which is another type of fallacy, which we're not going to get into today, but it's in the other book. It's in the Michael Wythe book. It's possibly in this book. The fake precision fallacy definitely has a lot to do with these other sort of, let's say, statistical fallacies. And what's his name, Madsen Peary, he actually says something after every example that he gives like a sort of question. And
yeah, and the question for this one is, what measurement of generosity allows for that kind of a figure to be put on it? But this is okay. This question that he asks about the validity of the statement, he acknowledges that survey in the first place, which is my problem right here. I would just question straight up the validity of that survey.
Yeah.
Because of the sample size. Because we don't know what the sample size for that survey is, but one can assume that they didn't take the time to speak with 1 million people.
Yeah, and then also I think the main point here that he's making is that how do you actually put a number
of generosity. Exactly.
Like what, even if you did the most rigorous study, it would be quite
It would still
difficult.
Be a house of cards.
in a way.
Yeah, pretty much, because there's ways of, yeah, of there's, it's, it would, if you try to refute it, it's, so the more information that your sort of, let's call it your opponent, the person you're speaking with, the more details that they give, the easier it's going to be to refute it. Now, if they just give that statement, which is, you know, 63% of of Scots are more generous than the Welsh, if he just left it at that, then it becomes it's a fallacy, and it's like misleading, because there's no other, if you try to refute that, it would be almost impossible to refute it, because there's nothing, there's not enough detail. You can't, it's like, I guess to use some more scientific terms, it's not really falsifiable yet.
Exactly.
So the more details, the better. And the point is that fake precision makes it seem like you've got these details, but you don't.
So maybe here is a good point to speak about why actually people consciously are committing this fallacy, because
intentionally.
It's, now, it is better.
Yeah, now I think that one thing why it's almost universal is one thing. The reason why somebody would use a fallacy intentionally usually is because they want to manipulate their audience. They want to convince them in a tricky way.
Sure, sure. But I wouldn't necessarily say, I would get more into psychology here.
Okay, do it.
I think that the intentional use of that fallacy doesn't have to do so much with you convincing the other person that your claim is correct. I would say, and here I'm speculating, I would say that it has to do more with, hey, look at me, I know my shit, I'm prepared, I've went through the facts, and I'm putting the facts in air quotes right here, so I am an authority right here, and you should believe me because I'm using these numbers, I'm using these percentages or whatever to back up my claim. So it's not so much intersubjective. It's not so much me trying to influence. Intersubjective. So intersubjective is my subjective communication with you as a subject. So it's not objective. It's not necessarily subjective because I'm having this conversation with you. It's intersubjective. So it's not so much intersubjective. Is you can say that when you are committing this fallacy in a way, you are speaking against, you are speaking with your reflection in the mirror. You're trying to convince yourself that you are much more knowledgeable and intelligent about that claim than you actually are. So I wouldn't necessarily convict the person that is committing that fallacy, that he's trying to mislead you. No, I think it has to do, in some of the cases, not necessarily all of the cases, with insecurity. Okay. And you're attaching a number to the insecurity to make you feel and sound more proficient in the in the area.
So basically, from this, so basically, you're saying that people commit this fallacy, and others, of course, intentionally, not only to purely mislead their audience or opponent, it's also some psychological, let's say, motivation, like self-esteem or ego.
Yes.
Or, all that's also basically emotional, psychological stuff.
I totally
see.
I think
I can see that.
I'm not saying that all of the times, but maybe
well,
some of the times.
If you did, perhaps that would be also
that would
a fake
be
a, decision.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think what you're saying is a good let's say, what would you say? It's not even an analysis. It's more like just kind of like, yeah, it's like speculation. Like what are the motivations behind intentional use of fallacies?
Yeah.
Not just this one, but like in all fallacies almost, because
Exactly.
It's not just manipulation. It's also not just manipulation. It's almost like manipulating yourself. Sort of like.
Yeah, this is. I think that you are committing a. I would dare use a loaded term. You're committing a crime against your own self.
Mm.
And I've been thinking about something related to that, but not straightforward related. About you are using your phone as this unbelievable supercomputer that sits in your pocket that you can almost reach any information that you want on a.
You mean Google?
Yeah, not only Google. I mean other sources. You can directly like refer to a website or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that when we are doing that as human beings, we are kind of fooling ourselves that we know more than we actually do. And here is where the things are getting, like for me at least, kind of more complicated than you are using your phone as an extension to your memory or your knowledge base. Is if you have access to it, is it not knowledge? Because your memory in general, it's not like it doesn't work like a computer. You're storing something and you have access to it, and it's every time that you access it, it's the same. Basically, knowledge, it's stored memory, it's stored information
in your brain.
In your brain. So if you have the ability to access an external database, is that the same as you are accessing your internal database?
That's a good question. I think it's possibly beyond the scope of this podcast. I totally see what you're saying. Knowledge is something that you have in your brain, whereas accessing information on the fly could actually help you to, let's say, have a discussion, but you're not actually this is rough because this is definitely not this is more about knowledge than it is about fallacies. What would you say, epistemology? I always forget
it.
It is definitely an epistemological
question. Yeah.
So yeah,
but it's loosely related to what we are speaking right now. Because you can even commit that false precision fallacy by stating something that it's 100% true, but it is not you that have that idea, and it's not you that that come up with that. So
but
does that make it a false precision? I don't know. I think that it can be related. Is it a new fallacy? Should we update our knowledge-based fallacies?
Let's say we would call that the Google fallacy or the search engine fallacy.
Yeah.
But for it to be a fallacy, it would have to be something like it would have to be some faulty reasoning. So if you use Google to look up, let's say, a fact, you know, because it's pertinent to the discussion, and nobody knows the fact, and so you need to look it up. It's possible that it won't sway your opponent. It won't be in the favor of your opponent, and it's also possible that it won't be in your favor because nobody knows it. That's why you're looking it up. So I don't really think that that's a fallacy. The search engine fallacy, if there was one, would have to be something like, I looked it up on Google, so it's true.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
So something like that, which is all very interesting, and it's definitely a conversation about knowledge more than it is about what we're after here, which is learning about fallacies. So the fake precision fallacy is definitely something, has something to do with making your claim seem more valid by the use of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you have numbers doesn't mean that
this is true.
It's true.
Yeah.
And even if you did have the source, which would be ideal, actually that's what I wanted to get into. I wrote down a little note here: evidence versus no evidence. So let's say, going back to the Mercedes BMW thing, right? Mercedes are 2 times better than BMWs, right? Let's say somebody made the argument the Mercedes S100 is 2 times better than the BMW Z400 or whatever. I don't know shit about cars. That's why I'm just making up model numbers. And then the person, the opponent says, well, what's your evidence? What's your source? And then the person making the claim says, well, for me, this car, this S100, is better than the Z400 because it's twice as good because it has twice as many seats. Now, that might actually be factually true, and if that's his criteria, which is admittedly really boring and weird criteria...
But it is a criteria.
Then it would not be fake precision. I think it would not be fake precision.
Yeah, I paid attention to what you said. For me, it is better because it has... No, thank you. For me, it is better because it has wider seats. As soon as you attach that piece of language, for me, it is better, you're no longer speaking about objective reality. You're speaking about subjective claim.
But what my question is it fake precision?
It is fake precision.
Because if I have a very clear criteria, the number of seats, and the one car has two seats and the other has four, I mean, it's not false precision because it's very precise. It's extremely precise, although it's boring.
It is extremely precise, but it stating that you are kind of like warping reality into saying that cars are only the number of seats that they have.
But that's not the claim. The claim is this car is twice as better because it has twice as many seats.
Yeah, exactly. Cars have seats, cars have wheels, engines. So in order to encompass the whole contraption that a car is, you should take way more variables into account than just the number of seats.
I agree.
Here is why, in my opinion, it will, no matter what claim you make, it will always be false precision if you don't take into consideration all of the factors that are into play here.
Okay, I think that, well, we're going to have to agree to disagree on that, because I think that if the weird person who says that he's basing the value of the car on the number of seats, I think he's a weird person. But it's not, personally, I believe that it's, according to the definitions that we've read, it's not fake precision because it's precise, but it's sort of just weak and boring.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, we can agree to disagree on that, and we're not here to debate what exactly the fallacies are. I think that we've read the definition, and I think that people know, and I think we've said very clearly that fake precision is... either an intentional or unintentional, as with most fallacies, it's an attempt to make a claim seem more valid than it is by the use of numbers. So I think we agree on that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if we disagree with that, then we are going against the grain of the fallacies itself.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly, yeah. So I guess we can read a couple more, or maybe just one more.
Yeah,
example.
We can say how this fallacy can be expressed. So you can use percentages, as we said, about the Welsh and the Scots. You can use like 4 out of 5 people can tell margarine from butter.
Can't tell
margarine from butter. So it can be expressed in many different ways: in percents, in times. Like, this is 2 times as better as the other thing. It can be 4 out of 5 people. So everything that has to do with a precise number. So you're giving like a precise number that is backing up your claim. It doesn't even matter what type of number it is, if it's going to be percentages, times, 4 out of 5, 99%, whatever. Every time that you are using numbers to back up your claim and you're not sure about that number, or you just made it up out of thin air, then you're committing this false precision fallacy. And I think that it's really easy for you to catch yourself when you want to commit that fallacy. You can always say
that's sort of the number one goal of this Mistaken Ideas podcast, because I think it's super important to be able to identify it first when you do it, and then second when others do it, and then and then everything else follows after that.
Yeah, so how do I combat this? Because this is one of the fallacies that it's easy for me to identify when I commit.
Yeah.
So as soon as I want to say, like, hey, 85% of the time it will be true for whatever, which is it's a bullshit claim, it's a fallacious claim, you can say most of the times. Like, you can easily say most of the times because you're not using a...
But even that would be a false precision.
Would it be, though?
Yeah, because if most of the time is 51% or more. Because if it's not most, then it's less than 50%. It's 50% or less.
All right. But are people actually thinking in these terms when they're using more, less, a lot, most?
That's a good question. So if you say more or all, those are inherently false precision because those words are relating to a ratio of
a quantity.
A quantity of people.
All right.
So if you say all, that's 100%. If you say most, it's more than 50%. If you say some, I think what you're getting at is that it's better to just say some.
Some.
Like, if I met five people, I can say some, because five is some, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Even one might be some. It might be the worst kind of some. And I'm saying some, S-O-M-E, not S-U-M.
Not S-U-M as a sum of people. But there is even an easier way to get out of that. If you just insert, I think, or...
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you need to do. Yeah. Like, I think that a lot of people are doing that. So you're then no longer basing this in objective reality. You're saying, like, I think, and this is a subjective claim, which is totally fine. Like, you are entitled to your opinion, and you should always express an opinion.
And you can make as many claims as you want, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be a valid claim or that it's... Yeah, and I think that you mentioned it before. I think that... You mentioned the word commitment, which is actually from the Michael Wythe book. He gives, like, a little glossary of words, and he uses this word commitment. There's explicit commitments and implicit commitments. So if I say, Mercedes-Benz are the best cars in the world, maybe there's an implicit argument that, or an implicit commitment that, like, German cars are also, because Mercedes is German, right?
Mm.
So there's things that go unsaid, but you can, like, kind of, they're sort of be, you can infer certain things.
As soon as you attach the subjective claim, I think, for me, or any other piece of language that has to do with your notion of what is good or bad, like with a qualitative or a quantitative statement, then it's totally fine. Then nobody would come against you and say, hey, but you just committed a fallacy. Not that, like, a lot of people are saying, hey, you just committed that fallacy on a regular basis, but even if they know, even if they catch you in the act, it would be difficult for them to justify if they're being dicks about pointing out that you just committed that.
But if they do point it out, and if you're listening to this series, if you're listening to Mistaken Ideas, then you obviously want to know about these fallacies, and you want to know that you're committing them. So when somebody tells you, oh, but you said all, or you said most, or you said 50% or whatever, and they call you out on it, you should realize that that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You want to be called out.
Yeah,
and then
definitely.
You and then, like you said, you revise your statement to basically sort of not be a claim anymore. It's like just your opinion.
Exactly.
And so I think that those are all really good points.
I think a piece of advice coming from a guy that maybe commits that fallacy all the time is that
every day.
Every day, and maybe every day. As soon as somebody points it out to you, try to not take it personally.
100%.
Try to not take it personally. He's not telling you, hey, you are stupid because you're making this fallacy. Maybe he's just saying that, hey, are you sure about what you're saying?
Yeah, totally.
Maybe you need to revise your claim. Not take it personally. Don't get into the heat of the moment, like trying to
this comes down to like psychological stuff too. It's like if somebody calls you out on a fallacy, you shouldn't take it personally.
You shouldn't take it personally, but it really depends the claim that you're making. Are you attaching it to your identity? So as soon as you're attaching something to your identity,
that's another topic that I think we can pass up for today. I just want to. I'm sorry to cut you off there.
Yeah, go ahead.
For sure, you know, this whole thing about identity, I'm sure most of you guys know from what I've said about Evgeny, he's like a very thoughtful guy. So that's just another topic for another podcast. It's not really what we're trying to do here. I just want to bring it back before we take another break, bring it back to the evidence versus no evidence versions of the possible false precision. So I think that when you have evidence of the false precision, that means that you've got like a study that you read, or like 10 scientists did 10 studies or whatever, and you read them all or some whatever, or you read one study. That means you have evidence. Now, if you're using percentages and it's based on a sample of people, and your claim is reliant on this sample, that opens you up to the sample bias. And I think, and the reason why I bring that up again is because I think that naturally mistaken ideas number four. So the next mistaken ideas, I think it should be about the sample bias. Because actually, even when you have evidence, which would be like a study that has a sample, 1,000 or 100,000 or whatever, like for example 100,000 people surveyed in the United States, that's a very low percentage
of
people.
It's a very small percentage of 350 something million people.
So I think that the next episode naturally should be the sample bias. Now, we're going to take another break real quick.
We're going to smoke some weed.
Yep. And then hopefully we can talk about the splitting hairs fallacy. I have a good example that I actually came up with myself. If I can remember the one from the... it's in this book, How to Win Every Argument, actually, so we can look that up on the break. I also have a story about when somebody accused me of splitting hairs on the internet.
Oh no.
So, and it's also got something to do with Dungeons and Dragons character classes, which is, and a meme, and Hitler. So stay tuned. We're back. So yeah, we are back, and we are going to talk about more fallacy shit. We left off talking about episode number 4. Basically, it's going to be about sample bias, and today the rest of this episode, the next 4 hours,
would be the splitting hairs.
Will be the splitting hairs.
So Steve is going to explain that one because I'm not entirely prepared.
Yeah,
but this is going to be the test if he's making a good job at that podcast.
Exactly.
If I understand it.
So in some way, Evgeny is sort of my audience right now. In addition to you guys, whoever you are.
God bless you.
Yeah. So. Splitting hairs. Now, I know what it is. I've looked it up. It's in the...
So far, so good.
It's in the Madsen Peary book. And basically, I've also looked it up on Wikipedia. And so I want to talk about that. I have an example that I created. And we can even look at the examples in the book. And I have a story about this fallacy where... I was actually accused of using this fallacy.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. And it was great, and I loved it, and it was amazing, because I have something to say about that. So, splitting hairs. Now, I have to preface this whole thing by... Most people say, oh, you're splitting hairs, and they're not talking about this fallacy. They are...
What most people are saying that... Are you going to say that after our previous segment?
I am. But you are correct. I have committed the fallacy of the episode. So, of course, it's perfect. It's perfect. So, some people... some people have said or some people seem to believe, that splitting hairs is just talking about details and getting too detailed. Now, if some people say that, which we have to agree that some people do, or we can at least agree that there is this concept out there that some people do, one person, at least one person, thinks that when you say splitting hairs, it means just getting too detailed.
Okay.
And so...
But what is it?
And so this is a preface. This is a preface to the actual fallacy. So I'm not talking about that. So anyone who's listening who also understands this fact, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an actual fallacy that has actual, like, has a definition. And the definition is, when you, instead of attacking the argument of your opponent or the person you're talking to, your audience, instead of attacking their argument, you attack a detail of that argument and you refute that. So in some way, this is also a red herring.
And cherry picking. Yeah,
maybe,
why not?
But, okay, well, I'll give you 2 minutes to explain yourself.
All right, so I would use, even I would go further down the rabbit hole, it's cherry picking within a straw man. So you're making this straw man, and by doing that, you're just picking one side of the complete argument, taking it out of context most of the times, or some of the times, taking it out of context, and by doing that, you're just focusing on something which is way more minuscule than the argument in general. And by being completely absorbed by something that I said, which taken out of context might sound like something stupid, you are actually battling the fictitious ghost that you created. So it's not a real thing that I'm saying. I said it, yeah, I used these words and in that sentence, but it doesn't mean anything out of the context, or it means a lot of things which are not what I meant. So I think that this can be cherry picking as well, like what,
okay,
you're saying.
For sure, I totally agree. It's related to the straw man. Obviously, the main difference between straw man and the splitting hairs is that instead of in splitting hairs, you are picking on a detail of the argument or a detail that's implicit in the argument, and you're attacking that. Whereas a straw man is you're creating an entirely fictitious version of the argument. So it's related to red herring.
Yeah.
It's related to it's, and that's what I love about fallacies. It gets to this level where you're like, you see.
No one know them all.
No one knows them all. Probably that's not a
bad. If you know them all, you can see all of them in a single one.
If you know them all, then and you're listening, tweet at us.
Yes.
Mistaken Ideas.
Yes.
Voices,
please,
from the dark.
Please, and if you're close, let's grab a beer so we can speak about that, because we don't know nothing about it.
Yeah, so we need some experts. But anyway, you did that in under 2 minutes, by the way.
Cool.
So that was great. So splitting hairs. So we're talking about the actual fallacy, which is arguing a detail instead of arguing the full argument. I have an example that I actually created. I was talking to my brother who is here for the weekend, and he'll be coming back, so maybe he'll be on the podcast too. I actually wanted some other friends to be on the podcast, Ira and Christine, but it never happened. But it'll happen at some point, because this podcast, as you know, is mobile. Voices from the Dark is basically on the streets of Berlin, and so anyway, back to splitting hairs. So the example that I came up with is about the DMV. For those of you who don't know the acronym, the Department of Motor Vehicles. So my example is that, and tell me if you understand this, and if you're already following the thing,
because
you're
premises. Right,
the premises, yeah, or the definition, really. So let's say Joe makes the claim, or Joe suggests that in our town, in our city, we need to set up a DMV, because people out there are driving around, and we need to know, as a community, as whatever town we're in, as a community, we need to know that people who are using cars, driving cars, are qualified to do so. So we will set up the DMV to start a licensing process to get a driver's license, right? That's Joe. Joe says that, and he's like, so let's do it, because we need to know that people are qualified to drive, and so we want to license them and keep track and keep a record and be strict or whatever. Let's say Bill is like, fuck you, Joe.
Fuck you, Joe.
The DMV is never going to happen, because if we set up a DMV, that means that we're going to have to pay fees. And what if we can't afford the fees? Then people who can't afford the fees can't drive. That's just bullshit. So what Joe says, obviously, he's going to say, well, if you can't afford it,
we're going to raise the tax for the rich.
No. If you can't afford it, you can do it for free. We won't charge you. And so basically, Bill is like, okay, well, what if it's still a shitty idea? The DMV sucks, because what if you can't get to the DMV? If you can't get there, then you can't drive. It's totally insane. And then Joe, of course, is like, well, then we'll somehow set up a way of getting people, like a shuttle bus or whatever.
Can I jump in? You are Bill and your brother is Joe in this conversation.
No.
Then who accuses whom of splitting hairs? Joe can accuse Bill of doing that.
No. There's no accusing of splitting hairs yet. That's the story that comes later. No, dude, there's two parts to this. There's the example and the definition of splitting hairs.
Okay.
And then I have a story, just an anecdote.
That's not the story?
No, that's not the story.
What it is, then?
This is the definition. It's an example.
This is a story, man. Be with
yes,
Joe.
It's also a story, but it's an example of splitting hairs.
So
your question. Who's splitting hairs? It's
hairs.
Fucking Bill.
It's Bill, yeah.
Bill,
exactly,
yeah, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay, so then you...
Because he's always coming up with another
so
excuse.
So I did my job.
Yeah, you did.
I explained it.
Yeah.
So
Bill is also always moving the goalpost. Like, what if this and
no,
then
no,
you
No, Joe
don't.
Would be moving the goalpost.
Joe would... Yeah, exactly. Okay,
but,
Joe
But he's
would
not,
be.
Because he's literally just saying what needs to be done. He's not moving the goalpost, because they're not arguing a definition of anything. They're not... Splitting the goalposts is...
He's just making it easier, like, just easier to accept, like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the thing is, like, all these things are entailed. They're all included in a DMV. Obviously, you have to have administration of the DMV. So what Bill is doing is he's picking on these details. Instead of saying that people should not get licensed because X, that would be a direct refutation of Joe's argument, but he's not doing that. He's picking on a detail, taking it out, and making it all about the detail. So in some way, it's like a straw man.
But it's
instead of creating an entirely fictitious argument, he's actually
here is where, in my opinion, like you kind of realize in the middle of things that you like your position sucks. Basically, you realize that. I've been in that situation many times. You realize that what you're saying is bullshit, but you're not willing to let go.
Yeah, totally. Splitting hairs is definitely like people sometimes, and maybe unintentionally, just like psychologically, they're just like, they want to refute it so badly.
Yeah, fuck you. It's just like, fuck you, man. No, you're not right.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great one, actually. It's a great
fallacy.
Yeah.
And we all do it. And there's like your sort of psychological view of it is that in addition to the one that you gave about fake precision.
Yeah.
It still applies, because I feel like that thing really applies
for sure.
for sure.
And even magnified here in that case,
yeah,
because you were
actually,
in midst of
actually,
terms, like realizing, oh, fucking hell, I'm full of shit. But you know what? I'm not backing down. Like, I'm doubling down on that motherfucker.
So, the story. Now, my personal anecdote. And so Ira knows about this. Ira was included in this conversation. It was actually a post that he shared. It was a meme that he shared, and it was a meme of 9 different Dungeons and Dragons
characters.
Character classes.
class.
Do you know about Dungeons and Dragons?
I played it only once.
So do you know that there's like these levels? You have good, neutral, and evil, and you have good, neutral, and evil, and then you have.
What is that, a moral judgment?
Yeah, basically. Okay. It's like a character class.
Okay.
Because each character in D&D has to have like a character. Basically. Not just a character, like a name, but also you have to have like a personality in some way. So it's good, neutral, evil. And then I can't believe I didn't bring like this thing to the podcast because I can't remember it. One is chaotic, and then one is... Oh my god. Shit.
It's diplomacy. Like being diplomatic.
Can you look it up, D&D classes? We're going to take a quick break and look up those D&D classes. All right. So, we are back. We have some bad news for everybody. We already went through the entire segment. I forgot to hit the record button.
So now we are going to speak about something completely different. We already spoke about that. We need to speak about... Yeah, come on.
Okay, I have to at least give a...
Definition.
Give me 3 minutes, I will go through all that shit.
You're not telling that story.
I'm not telling the whole story.
You're not speaking about Dungeons and Dragons.
Give me 3 minutes.
Okay, go.
From now, okay.
All right.
So, splitting hairs. Basically, there's a DMV example. Splitting hairs is a... when you're committing the splitting hairs fallacy, you are basically, instead of attacking the argument of the person, you are attacking details of that. And so in my DMV example, which I just went over, and it was great, Joe is saying that there should be a DMV.
Joe
and
Rogan.
Then Bill is like, no, there shouldn't be a DMV because what if we can't pay the fees? And then Joe is like, well, then we would set up a way to get it for free. And then Bill is like, oh, well, still it sucks because what if we can't get to the DMV? And then Joe is like, you know, we'll figure out a way to get a shuttle for people to get to the DMV. So that is what a splitting hairs fallacy is. Bill is committing the fallacy. He's splitting hairs. Instead of attacking directly... the argument, which is to set up a DMV to license people, he is attacking details. Now, Evgeny previously was like, okay, I totally understood that. Hopefully you understand that very abbreviated version of that. Now, I also told a story...
You're not telling that story.
No, I'm not
again.
Telling the whole story.
No.
Basically, my friend Ira shared a meme about Dungeons & Dragons classes, like Chaotic Evil, Lawful
You're telling
evil.
The story again.
No, I'm not. It's I have 1.5 minutes left. And so in this character grid, he's like got, you know, reasons for punching Nazis, and it's all aligned to these alignments for D&D. And in the Chaotic Evil, there's a Sig Heil, and one of Ira's friends made the argument that the Sig Heil should be lawful evil because fascism is evil, but it's also lawful. And I gave a refutation of that was attacking the claim directly, and I said, no, fascism is not all about lawfulness, it's about lawlessness. And so I directly refuted it, and it was kind of detailed. And then he says, you're splitting hers, like H-E-R-R apostrophe
hairs.
S, hairs. And so it's like a joke about the, you know, German language and blah, blah, blah. And so I laughed my fucking ass off, and I thought that this dude, Jason Nugent, was fucking amazing. And I was like, and not only because he's a friend of Ira, but then also, I knew he was joking, so basically I was just like, oh, that's sexist. And, you know, I imagined that he like laughed at that, and, you know, it was all...
And you basically recapped the whole story.
Yeah, in 3 minutes. In 3 minutes.
Good. But know the story.
But
you
that,
said that you were not going to
I didn't say that. I said I'm going to give an abbreviated... You said
okay,
not
okay.
to. I'd never agreed to it.
All right.
Because
we
I wanted
gonna
to
hear that there would be evidence. Maybe he agreed, maybe not.
I wanted to. Yeah, there's evidence for sure. I wanted to recap it, but unfortunately, you guys missed out a great fucking conversation between me and Evgeny. And you know what? It's because of the weed.
It is.
It's because of the weed.
100%.
So,
but now we're going to speak about something else.
Yeah, but one thing before you go on, I want to say, okay, weed and podcasts can definitely mix, but like, if you're only up to episode number 14 of Voices from the Dark, like I am, and number 3 of Mistaken Ideas, you need to probably do it not stoned.
Yeah,
but
or you need a Jamie.
And what's a Jamie? Oh yeah,
and some people
Jamie.
Would understand that.
Oh, and by the way, we actually did a Jamie.
Yeah.
In that thing that
we pulled up that bad boy.
We pulled up exactly.
we pulled up that bad boy.
And that was the first time that I actually pulled up a bad boy in fucking and that's for Joe Rogan fans. It's just the first time I pulled up a bad boy in fucking Voices from the Dark. But it was totally
good.
Cool.
That's
and
good.
That's because this is sort of like could be like a co-host thing.
Yeah.
You could be a co-host. And I think that we should probably say to the people, you know, that we, Evgeny and I, have recorded at least 2 podcasts before this on completely different subjects.
And again, completely stoned at the middle of them, on both of them.
And some of them were like 2 or 3 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, yeah, I mean, this Evgeny is sort of like, you know, one of my, in some way, a podcasting friend. Like, he loves podcasts.
Yeah.
He actually was one of the people that kind of got me into it and like actually producing it, you know, or at least talking about it. And well, now I'm doing it. We're both doing it.
Well, that's the truth. I spend the vast majority of my waking life in the past couple of years listening to podcasts, and I think it's absolutely amazing and it's absolutely necessary in this day and age. But
what did you want to say?
What I wanted to say is that just getting back to a previous point that I made, that about the committing a fallacy consciously or unconsciously.
Yeah, that was you spoke well about that. I really enjoyed that.
I want to maybe get a little bit deeper into the whole concept of committing these biases unconsciously, because we
unconsciously
because if we commit them consciously and if we indulge in some of this argumentation and way of thinking consciously, then maybe it is safe to say that most of the times that we commit them, it's unconscious. Because first of all, in order to catch yourself in the act and realize what you're doing or do it intentionally, you need to be completely aware of your actions at the moment. And at least in my experience, the vast majority of the times that I speak, just stuff comes out of my mouth and I'm not entirely aware of what will follow. So this is you should stay humble. What I'm trying to say is that you should stay humble and you should try not to ride the moral or the intellectual high horse when you realize that somebody else is committing a fallacy, because you do it too. Like, believe me, you do it too all the time. And knowing that, you're either a hypocrite for pointing it out in everyone else all the time, derogatively, I mean, like trying to make them feel bad about themselves about doing that in one way or the other.
Derogatorily,
yeah, I'm sorry.
No.
You are not intellectually honest with yourself because you are doing it the whole time as well. So be humble. Like, it's important to understand what is going on, to be aware of the conversation, and even if you realize that somebody's is committing one fallacy or the other or whatever, don't be a dick about it. Like, try to be as civil as possible, like as polite as possible, and the way that you're going to be heard and the way that the other person most probably or in some cases would perceive it is if you are calm and if you're not trying to if you're not trying to give this person a hard time about doing that, he would have like better chances of hearing you. If you're being an ass and you're just like, hey, you committed that fallacy, blah blah blah,
then I don't know, maybe this person would double down and he would be like, you know what, maybe I did that, but fuck you for being an ass, I can do whatever the fuck I want. He would be completely right, like he can, he or she can do whatever the fuck she wants. But that's what I'm saying, it's cool to go through this because it's absolutely fascinating. It's I think it's essential to know these things, just to like kind of mold how you think, not what you think, because I think that this is always the first overlooking step of the hierarchy, that it's always how you think. What you think comes second, in my opinion. Like, it would be a reflection on how you think, that the things that you're gonna say at the end of the day would be more reflection of how you think, not what you think. Because the things that you are thinking about and influenced about is they are dictated by how you think about the world in general. So we are studying these topics together with this podcast, but I think it's really important to just stay humble, be aware of what you're doing, be aware of what other people are doing, like as much as you can. But when you realize that somebody else committed that, try to be reasonable. And another point that I would like to make is that don't give yourself a hard time when you realize that you just did it. We are only human, you know. This is Nietzsche. We are only human. This is, I think, you cannot separate that from the human condition, because this is a part of the human condition, committing these fallacies. That was all that I wanted to say on the topic.
No, I don't think that's all you wanted to say, but it was very well said.
Yeah.
And I mean, I couldn't say it better than that. But I will add that, so what Evgeny said about being humble and also not being hard on yourself is definitely up there with the goals, the top goals, you know. So the goal is to educate yourself, and for me it's to educate myself, and I believe for Evgeny it's to educate himself. That's the number one goal. But then underneath all that stuff, or even like kind of included in that, is that, yeah, you want to educate other people as well. So, you know, through this exploration that we're doing on this podcast, Mistaken Ideas, it's less about being right than it is about like helping people to learn the same things that we're learning on the podcast. And that, you know, when you make these, when you commit fallacies, it doesn't have to be, I mean, obviously if you're dealing with assholes, then like you said, I actually have a story about that, about when somebody points out a fallacy in a dickish way, most people, including myself, will react in a very aggressive, very non-rational way and just be like, you know what, you're fucking right, but fuck you.
Yeah.
And I'm just gonna troll you now. I'm gonna fuck you up.
And
you
know, for a good reason.
Intellectually. And
for a good
and
reason.
I think for a good reason.
Yeah.
And so this happened to me once where somebody was, I was having a conversation, and I think it was about slavery. And somebody, the person, who my opponent, let's say, was like, slavery is always immoral. And I was like,
slavery is what?
Always immoral.
Okay.
Or unethical or whatever. Immoral, unethical, doesn't matter. Point is that they said that, and I was like, well, what if blah blah blah, and I gave a situation where it was questionable, you know, where and instead maybe I was wrong, but the way
try to think of the example when it is questionable.
Yeah, okay, so I know the example.
Okay.
I'm probably wrong about it. And I'm sure I don't even think this anymore. That if a nation wanted to survive and start a war against an aggressor, this nation, instead of asking people to fight in the war, they forced people into fighting the war, and they required them to do it, and they pushed them, and if they didn't go, there would be a punishment, and so they forced them into, and so that's in some way slavery. Now, of course, you know, whether they get paid or not is irrelevant, because they're going to a war and they're going to die anyway. So this was my argument. And I'm not saying that I support this argument anymore, but the way that it was refuted, or the way that it was challenged, my argument, the way it was answered, was such a negative. The person said to me, well, once we get past your ninth grade level of philosophy, and I was like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah, this is somebody who is so full of himself.
I immediately yeah, exactly. went red, and I was like, nothing that this motherfucker say is going to get past me without a fucking aggressive comment.
Yeah, so this is exactly what I'm trying to say. And I would
That's why I told that story.
Yeah, and I would like to add one more level of complexity, if you want to what I previously said. As soon as you are trying to refute not the argument, but you're trying to ridicule and make a fun out of the person next to you, you close the doors of perception. You know that's it. Like, nothing from this moment on would get through the barriers. It's a really thick wall that now is built between you and that person, and you're not being heard. I can bet all my money on that you and your arguments are not being heard anymore. It is just a defensive reaction from the other side. So because at the end of the day, you want to have conversations that are worthy of your time, okay? That's what you want to do.
For sure. And I just want to throw in that the situation that I was in and the way I reacted, I'm not saying that was the way to react.
Of course not.
I totally see that I was being a dick myself.
Yeah.
But it was sort of almost like a instinctual reaction.
Not sort of. It is an instinctual reaction. It is
for my type of personality or whatever. You know, so, some people might not react that way, but
I did. Of course. But no. Of course, you can always, when you're speaking about this higher level of cognition, instincts, you have a N1. Okay, so you're the only subject of that study that was performed. So it's always about your personality and yourself. That is beyond the point. What I'm trying to say is that as soon as you make a counter argument personal, forget about the topic of the conversation and forget about the quality of the conversation in general. Like, totally. You're wasting your time. That's it. From that moment on, you might as well be doing whatever else you want, because this conversation is not getting anywhere. Definitely. And if you're listening to this, then you don't want these types of conversations, okay? Yeah. We can probably agree on that. That's a safe bet to make. So, for the love of God, don't do that. You know, like, don't waste your time. Like, it's not for anything else. Don't waste your time.
Yeah, definitely. Yo, man, thank you for being here.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
I really feel this is sort of like a co-host vibe, but, you know, I guess we can see where that takes us. So, Evgeny, thanks again. I'm going to wrap it up with just the repetition of the pink card. The announcements that I made before, I got upcoming casts. The artist series is still in full effect. It's going to be part of a collaboration that's coming up, which I'm really excited about, and you'll learn more about that as it gets solidified. The political podcast about socialism, the definition of socialism, the way people use this word and what this fucking word means, that shit's coming up. Got some projects, hopefully. I believe it's like 99% sure that it's going to happen. That's definitely false precision. But anyway, I really feel good about that. The Dirty Dozens event, which is technically should have been for the 12th episode, we're now on episode 14. I still want to do that event. I still want to do some kind of drinking party or whatever, maybe even do a live podcast from that, or at least a recorded live.
I thought that you were going to say maybe even do a line.
I mean, whatever, you know, it's Dirty Dozens. And then the Utopia concept that's coming up as well. So this was Mistaken Ideas number 3. We talked about fake precision and we talked about splitting hairs. The next episode, Mistaken Ideas number 4, will be about the sample bias, or a biased sample, I should say. Evgeny, any parting words?
It was a pleasure. I hope that you would get to hear more of me soon.
As do I. Voices from the Dark. Peace out.